We finally get a good game in the NBA playoffs. The Spurs take a 3-2 lead, and the Warriors sweep the Jazz. All that and more on the NBA playoffs review on AfterBuzz Sports.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to AfterBuzz Sports. We are reviewing the NBA playoffs tonight. The Houston Rockets took on the San Antonio Spurs. We're going to talk Warriors, Jazz. We're going to talk Cavs, Raps. We're going to talk Wizards, Celtics. We're going to talk everything, ladies and gentlemen. I am Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Josh_Rodriguez_Jill. Where can they find you?
I'm Jill Monroe. You can find me everywhere. Not quite as excited as Josh tonight.
We finally got a good game.
We did have a great game.
We had a great game.
I'm a little excited about that. All right, Jill Monroe at Stiletto Jill.
What's up, guys? You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. I'm your girl, Christine.
Allie Bailey on the couch.
Hey, guys. I'm doing the live chat here. Chat us up. My name's Allie Bailey. You can find me, AllieBailey_1.
Yes, we appreciate everybody in the live chat. It was lit last time we did this, so hopefully we get the same amount of participation. Hit us up with comments, questions, concerns, anything about the NBA playoffs. Let's get started. The Spurs beat the Rockets 110-107 in overtime in the best game, I would say, besides that double overtime game in Boston against the Wizards-Celtics. This is probably the best game of this round so far.
Yeah.
So, ladies. Oh, it's ladies' night.
It's ladies' night. Josh and the ladies.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God. What?
Ladies, thoughts on the game?
It was really good.
Yeah,
like definitely the most exciting game. I mean, you know me, I'm a Warriors fan, so I know I'm gonna get slack for this, but it was more interesting than the Warriors series.
I'm not gonna give you slack for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tip for tat with that.
I won't. The chat might though, but go ahead.
I mean, go ahead.
Just what's standing out for me is I'm actually kind of looking ahead. What's gonna happen with Kawhi not being in the game the last
hurt.
8
yeah,
minutes? He's hurt. How hurt is he? 8 minutes is a long stretch of time in a pivotal game. Obviously, they came out on top, but your concerns going forward are you need Kawhi at peak Kawhi in order to get ready for the Christine's team, the Warriors that are waiting, and
them.
potentially the Cavs. So, you know, that's something that I'm going to be on the lookout for. Shout out to Ginobili! Drinking from the fountain of youth.
Do your best Charles Barkley impression.
Ginobili!
Yes! Go, your best Charles Barkley Ginobili impression.
I broke a little bit.
Ginobili!
Nice. Allie, your best Ginobili impression of
Ginobili.
Okay.
All right. Ginobili.
Right.
Yes. Turning back the clock. Jimbo in the booth. Your best Ginobili impression.
Ginobili.
That's the winner, right there.
Oh my god.
Okay, we have Scott here in the chat.
Did he say Ginobili?
No, he said the Rockets' offense at the end of the fourth quarter and OT was so bad, very stagnant. Just James Harden holding the ball till the end of the shot clock and taking a contested three.
I completely agree. And this is what frustrates me the most, because especially with the D'Antoni offense, you have the most innovative offense in the league. Why do you just hold it to run iso ball? You're supposed to move the ball around, do what you do, pick and roll.
But isn't that what he did? I mean, is it a case of the rotation was really short tonight? 7 guys in the Rockets rotation.
Yeah.
So maybe he was a little tired. He is playing in overtime. Part two to that is that is kind of Harden's game prior to this season, is to kind of hold the ball
prior to this season.
Old habits die hard,
right.
and I think it was till about maybe 2 or 3 minutes into overtime, Harden was 0-for-2 in overtime and had 3 turnovers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That sounds to me like fatigue.
It sounds like fatigue,
possibly,
but also bad offense. Like the chat said, I mean, if you're moving the ball, then you should be able to create good shots. I mean, the Eric Gordon shot that he missed at the end of the game, that was a terrible shot. You had 14 seconds on the shot clock, and you're taking like a 28-foot, 30-foot three-pointer. For what reason?
I see stuff like that, again, I think that fatigue might be a factor, because if you see sloppy play like that all of a sudden from a team this season who that's not something that really has been a hallmark for them, I'm going to say, you know, you just worn down, like we'll live to fight another day.
I mean, I think it's a combination of fatigue and maybe playoff, you know, not having that playoff maturity to, you know, wind the shot clock down and take a better shot instead of that contested three and seal the game. But, I mean, going into OT made it that much more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and without Kawhi, I mean, he doesn't play the end of the fourth or anything in the overtime. You have to win that game.
Yeah.
Especially Game 5. Game 5, they say, decides the series, basically. I don't think the series is over by a long shot.
Do we think this is going 7 games?
Absolutely. I think Houston wins Game 6. We can talk about that later. But I think this is going to go 7. And Kawhi being hurt, I mean, if he's hurt,
they're going to have to really, really rally without him.
Exactly. Because
he still had 22 points and 15 rebounds on the night. Like, he contributes so much in a major way on both ends of the court. So they really have to just pull out all the stops to have a fighting chance.
But isn't he supposedly going to play Game 6?
Yeah, he said he's going to play. He said he's going to play, but... I mean, if you're the Rockets, you just squandered a huge opportunity. Kawhi does not play the last 8 minutes of the game. You can go up 3-2 going back home with a hurt Kawhi Leonard. That's the series for me right there. They
messed that one up.
Yeah, they messed it up. I mean, effed it
up. Might have blown
explicit.
Their entire...
Jimbo,
yeah.
Label this explicit.
Explicit. Also, I think we have to look at Danny Green as kind of an unsung hero.
Oh my God, he showed up tonight.
Yeah, big time.
Starting with that, that 3 to end of third was huge.
Yes. Momentum change.
I mean, he had the game winning. Yeah, exactly. He had the game winning basket, everything. I mean, vintage Danny Green. I felt like we're watching like the 2014 Spurs all over again.
What is vintage Danny Green for me is when he was on the Cavs being LeBron's dance
vintage
partner.
Vintage Danny Green. Well, that's kind of vintage Danny Green, yes. But also vintage Danny Green to me is hitting threes all over the place and setting records in the NBA Finals against the Heat. That's vintage Danny Green to me.
Yeah. The one that they lost or the one they won?
No, the one they won.
Okay.
The one that they won.
Because I still think about Danny going to live after they lost and, wishing LeBron well.
Oh, really? I don't even know that story.
Oh, yeah. So, the Heat were celebrating turn up in Club Live after they won.
Yeah.
And, NBA players are human. They go out after a loss on occasion. And Danny went to Club Live. And he said he wasn't partying. He just went and congratulated him and was out amongst the magnums of champagne.
Interesting.
It's a couple years ago. Anyway.
Allie, what did it say in the chat?
We have CJ here saying CJ? Warriors beating either team in 5, so this doesn't even matter.
Really?
Wow, 5.
I just wrote back saying which team would give them a better series. So we'll see.
I guess 5. He's basically saying the same thing, right?
I
guess it can be different. You can give a competitive 5.
That's true. I mean, do you think Utah gave a competitive 4?
No. Okay. I saw a stat that said
that. But it only went 4? Is that even competitive?
It can be.
It can be.
I mean, the Pacers-Cavs series was
very competitive.
Somewhat competitive, even though they lost. Yeah. The Pacers lost all 4 games. I mean, they had shots. They had a shot in game 1 to win.
Down to the wire, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of game 4, Paul George could have tied the game. So, I mean, the games were...
Were you about to say the stat that the Clippers led...
the Warriors.
Not the Clippers. Yeah, it's the Clippers' dreams. The Warriors led... weren't in the lead.
They never
for
trailed.
Minutes. Yeah.
No, something like they led more. They did trail, but it was like for like 11 minutes throughout the whole series, but they were up by 20 more than they were losing in the series.
It's crazy.
That is insane. That is an insane stat. But we'll stick with the Spurs Rockets. Now we move to game 6. We're in Houston. I fully expect the Rockets to come out and win this game, home court. Mm-hmm. I think role players, they step up at home. And I think the role players in Houston today, they actually played pretty well. Lou Williams didn't have too good of a game.
But do you Ryan think Anderson, that the rotation will still be short?
No, I think D'Antoni needs to change that. Because the Spurs, I'm looking up right now, actually, 18 offensive rebounds. I don't have the second chance points right here, but I remember thinking, watching the game, like, oh, man, offensive board, put back. That's going to hurt him. That's going to kill him. And I think he needs to play Montrezl Harrell. I don't know why Montrezl isn't his... doghouse right now, but you just lost Nene. You need someone to guard LaMarcus Aldridge. He hasn't gone off on you yet, but he might. And you need someone who's going to just be able to rebound the ball. He doesn't have to shoot threes. Just have him as your high screen and roller guy.
I mean, but Nene doesn't really shoot threes.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you don't have Capella in the lineup, you don't really have anyone who's going to grab rebounds or play defense against a big guy. You need that. Even if it's for 10, 15 minutes in the game, you have to play Montrez. At least that's what I think.
I wonder... What the hesitation there
well,
is.
Well, what do you think? Do you think he should stay small and just chuck threes because that's what they're good at?
That's what's been working for them. I think they need to also just move the ball. I think maybe when they go back home for game 6, it'll be... I mean, it's home court advantage. They'll be so much more confident and get back into the system that's made them so successful this year and not revert back to old habits that die hard in OT. I think that'll be the key to them winning.
Okay, so you don't think it matters if they make any adjustments with the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, definitely make adjustments. Like you said, the rotation was pretty short tonight. I think that's the key to not getting exhausted down the stretch.
Yeah,
and that's what leads to reverting back to those old habits. So you're definitely right. Those two things go hand in hand.
Here in the chat, what for it? Okay, says where was the rest of the Rockets bench?
on the bench.
On the bench, because D'Antoni like, I'm only trusting Lou and who was the
Ryan other? Anderson.
Ryan Anderson.
Started Eric
Gordon. Yeah. He put up 19 points.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson had a really good game. Lou Williams didn't do much. I think he had 6 points.
Yeah.
So you really had six players. And Eric Gordon didn't shoot well either. And they still almost pulled out a victory.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the role players played better, but I do think he needs to go to Montrez. And I'm shocked that Sam Dekker didn't get any playing time either.
He's been hurt.
He's been hurt. He should come back from injury.
I feel like he's played well enough that he could be put in to spell in spurts just to break things up and to give him that experience, because you're going to need him if you go on to the Western Conference Finals and potentially longer.
Right.
You need that help off the bench. So... and he hasn't been so terrible. So I don't know what's going on with D'Antoni right now.
Well, he's known to keep short rotations. He doesn't like playing younger guys either.
Yeah, but 7 is like
tight.
Yeah.
So I need everybody to be fresh for whatever comes next.
Yeah, I agree.
Like burning the wheels.
I fully expect, especially at home, because role players do play better at home, I do expect D'Antoni to, you know, expand the bench a little bit. I think Dekker gets some minutes. I think Montrezl gets some minutes. I mean, we're not there at practice. We don't know why he all of a sudden doesn't trust Montrezl Harrell anymore. I know Sam Decker's coming back from injury, so I don't know. We shall see. But game 6 predictions. I'm taking the Rockets. Jill, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Rockets because I'm taking the Rockets to win the series. That means that I'm saying that the Rockets are going to go into San Antonio this weekend and win game 7. So,
Christine?
I take the Rockets winning game 6.
Okay.
And ultimately the series. Although that's not what I want.
You said that you... Did you say Spurs in the beginning?
I did. Okay. I did say Spurs. I don't know why I ridiculously said Spurs in 5 when we first started this.
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
I did say that. That's blasphemy. No, but I have to say, I think I take Houston winning this, but that's not really what I want long term, because they're going to have to face my Warriors. But it will actually make for a compelling series. So.
Okay. Allie, who do you have?
I think I have Rockets winning 6 and then Spurs taking the series in 7.
Okay.
That dog here says, I got Rockets. He's talking about for game 6. James needs a pick to hit 3s at good times.
Yes, that's also true. Shot selection.
Yeah.
Shot selection is huge. But that goes back to just holding the ball and just... I mean, even 3s he hits. I mean, he hit a couple on David Lee where he just kind of lines him up, puts him to sleep.
I mean, but I feel like, too, with Harden, he gets a lot of his points from the line.
That, too.
That's how he fills up his stat line.
Yeah, so usually if he's having an off night with 3s, he's going to go and kind of generate some contact and throw his arm out there or something. So it was a weird night altogether,
I think,
towards the end.
I wonder if he'll adjust his game a bit for game 6, because I think he got into foul trouble at one point. I think he put up like 4.
He was in the beginning of the game, yeah.
Yeah, I get that he's trying to be aggressive, but I don't think that he should push it that much.
Okay. All right, well, so let's move on. Yesterday, the Golden State Warriors defeated the Utah Jazz 121-95, effectively ending the Utah Jazz's season in the second round. Christine is happy. Congratulations, Christine. It's not like you didn't see this coming.
I did. Oh, my God. I was so worried.
Were you nervous?
I was, like, sweating.
Were you biting your nails? So they complete the sweep. Okay. I mean, we talk about this series. If you guys followed us and you're in the chat, you know we just kind of like, Warriors win. Yay. There's really not much to talk about. It's basically there just saying, who are they going to play?
Steph Curry was on Instagram Live tonight chefing it up for Aisha's new little... homemade cooking line. He made steaks and mashed potatoes.
It looked really good. And I did
asparagus.
See that.
Yeah, so it was asparagus. I don't care for asparagus, so I ignored that part.
Asparagus is so good.
You know.
What?
Moving on to another green vegetable. So.
Warriors beat the Jazz. I'm getting your nails. Right. Asparagus. Love asparagus.
Yeah,
I mean, asparagus.
So my point in bringing that up is, you know, the Warriors are just like, yeah, we're just going to enjoy our week off and wait for whoever beats up between the Spurs and Rockets.
Right.
And we're going to be fresh and eating healthy.
I'll tell you what, they're catching a couple breaks. Nene's going to be out if they play the Rockets. And Kawhi's hurt right now. Tony Parker's going to be out. So, I mean, the Warriors are just...
They are going to catch some breaks. Yeah, but, okay, can we just say... But here's the thing, too. Let's not dismiss that they are clicking and coming together.
Oh, they're playing great.
Although I cringe every time something happens to Steph Curry. Every time he gets bumped and it's a little too much and he, like, reaches for the ankle. I'm like, no. It's not about to be 2011 or 12 all over again. No, Steph, no. But, you know, they'll be challenged. They're ready. I think they're ready. I mean, it's not their fault they're good.
Christine, this is a stupid question to ask you, but how do you think the Warriors looked in the series?
I think they looked great. I think defensively they were truly locked in. I think they've played their best basketball of the season, which is crazy considering they had such a great season.
Right.
But, defensively I think that's the key to the winning because they get so many stops and they stifle you. Like, anytime you think you're going to go on a run, they'll come back and just shut it down. And I think especially game three showed why they went through all this trouble to get KD. I mean, their roster is just showing itself to be valuable in so many different ways.
Right.
I think they played really well. I will say I think the series was boring overall, even though, like, I tune in. I want to see my guys win. I want to see how they do it, the different ways that they make adjustments, especially with Mike Brown now being their head coach. But, I mean, they look great. What is there really to say?
Yeah.
So I have a question. Do you think that, especially in game three where KD took over and it very much looked like, oh, it's KD's team, he's going to close. Do you think it'll be a game-by-game decision whether the ball is going to be in KD's hands or Steph's hands? Or do you think that the plan is, it's kind of KD's team and we're going to run through him in the fourth?
I think it's who's hot. And actually, CJ Houston said something. He left a comment on one of our shows, and he called it. He was basically saying, like, when Steph's cold and Clay's cold, KD's going to win him a game. And that's exactly what KD did in game three. And I think it's going to be whoever's hot. If Steph's hot that day, get the ball, Steph. If Clay's hot, I mean, who would you rather shoot in the ball in this world than Clay Thompson?
Yeah.
Like, it just really depends who's hot at the time. And if everyone's clicking, then just run your offense. Get the best shot available because you have three of the best shooters who've ever lived on the – oh, my God. That's so – it's not fair. It's not fair.
There's no excuse.
I mean, here's the thing. There's lots of things that aren't fair. Was it fair that in the 80s the Celtics had like three or four Hall of Famers?
No, you're right.
You're right. You know, my Laker dynasty obviously had several Hall of Fame players. What? Why are you mad?
I'm just jealous.
Rings.
I'm jealous.
Rings.
Because if you're Knicks, because they never had three amazing shooters.
Because she's talking about Lakers dynasty, and I went back to the time we had Stephon Marbury and Eddie Curry. I don't know why Stephon Marbury
and
came to my
Stephon head. Marbury is a Chinese legend now with bronze statues and... Sometimes you just have to go out of
your
element.
Point, things aren't fair. Life isn't fair.
I was talking about this with someone the other day. Just the fact, like, you know, in the East, too, LeBron and the Cavs, 8-0, they're having a great postseason as well.
Right.
And a lot of people are complaining about, you know, the lack of competitiveness and stuff like that. But we're watching, like, some really great teams, like, make history, you know? Like, to me, that's fun. Like,
that's
we're going to talk about this later and be like,
better. Yeah, you're right.
Remember that year where, like, they had this super team and LeBron, like, how they faced off, like, I know no matter how annoyed people might be by the Warriors or whatever hype that there is, everyone wants to see the finals and see how that ends because then we could talk about it again. And
right. And to your point, I wasn't live during the Celtics-Lakers rivalry with Magic and Bird, but I'm sure the leap was kind
of
like that as well. You knew it was the Lakers. You knew it was going to be the Celtics. And just
I mean, weren't the Rockets in back-to-back finals? I mean, come on. Michael Jordan... two straight sets of three-peats.
Right.
So how can you be a Jordan fan and then look at this and say the league is boarding, you don't know the outcome?
And this might be me living in a bubble and being completely delusional as a Knicks fan, but I think people thought teams like the Knicks could give the Bulls a run.
Really?
Maybe a couple of
In the 90s, like in 92, 93. They took a 2-0 lead. They took a 2-0 lead against the Bulls in like 92, 93 when Starks had that dunk when he was like, on May 26, 1993.
Wow, you remember? Do you really remember that? I don't know.
Really
was it
accurate.
92?
I was born a couple days later.
Were
you? It was 92. That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I mean, they took a 2-0 series lead. They took them to 7. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
I think they took them to 6. No,
but Detroit
six,
was, I think, the rival in the East, right?
But he couldn't get past.
He couldn't get past them at first until he finally
But I
did.
Get your point. But I'm saying that people, I think there was always a thought that, hey, you know, maybe the Sonics with Kemp and Peyton could beat the Bulls. Hey, maybe the Jazz would stop
the Lakers alone. Would have if things hadn't gone a different way for Magic. Anyway.
Well, that was towards the end of the Lakers dynasty and prime anyway. So I think Jordan caught Magic and the Lakers at the end. But what's the chat say? We're kind of rambling.
Right. Okay. We have Marvin here in the chat. Said, KD is just an assistant in all capital letters of Curry and Thompson. LOL.
Oh, wow.
That's bold.
Wow. Called him a receptionist.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
we're calling KD the receptionist now.
that might be a good thing. Do you know what, though? The thing that's interesting about that to me is that on any given night, that could be any one of their roles in theory because they're so stacked. It's just like somebody has to take the back seat role the on back, a certain night. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Someone
there's
has
a driver,
drive,
there's a passenger, shotgun. And then there's someone that's in the back seat, like, I got the window. I mean, and you just got to ride and do your part. So
You're so right.
There's someone that's opening the door.
Right. Pass me the ox cord, I'm the DJ.
Yes. The Warriors are a car on a road trip. That's what they are. Someone's driving.
Right.
Someone switches every day.
Doing the music. Controlling the music. Someone's in the backseat entertaining you, and the other guy's just like,
sleep. Resting. Right. Waiting for his number to be called.
That's a great analogy. Guys, there you go. We should give ourselves a round.
Ladies' night.
Ladies' night. We came to a conclusion.
This is ladies' night. Thank you.
Applause. Miss America.
I have one more question before we move on. We know that Draymond called the Cavs series boring, or the playoffs in general boring. Yeah. You know, just shots fired, mental gymnastics. We're cool with that.
Yeah.
But he also called Kelly Olynyk. Am I just saying that correctly?
Olynyk.
Okay. Yeah. A dirty player.
He is a dirty player. But go ahead.
But can we just compare, though, technical fouls career-wise. Draymond, 44. Kelly, 3. Flagrant fouls. Draymond, 6. Kelly, 0. Ejections. Draymond, 3. Kelly, 0. Draymond, just know when to move on to another topic.
I think Draymond was the wrong person to say it, because Kelly does have a reputation of being a dirty player, especially after what he did with Kevin Love's shoulder in the playoffs.
Do you think that I was listening to, I think it was someone on ESPN radio, I'm blanking on the name, hopefully it'll come to me, and he made a point, he said that because Kelly is a white guy playing hard, playing fierce, that sometimes it's a little racial thing how people react, because they're like, I'm not going to get shown up by the white guy. And so they take things that are normal, maybe basketball plays, and overdo it and like hit it back harder. Do we think that that has any credence?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I don't know if I can completely get behind that theory.
Yeah.
What do we say in the chat? Do you guys?
I'm sure maybe for some players. Maybe for some.
I just thought it was an interesting theory. I didn't know
but
myself.
I wouldn't label that a... I don't know. Chat, what do you think?
Yeah.
So you're saying because he's white, that's why that people are quicker to call him like a dirty player versus someone like
Kelly Oubre, not saying that he did this, but he's like, I'm going to let this white guy punk me, and he
exactly.
ran at him.
Yeah. So all of that, just that, you know, when he's doing things that are just normal basketball, just good, like hard fouls or just playing with vigor, that people are like offended because he's white. Like, I can't get shown up by a white guy, and that it just takes on a different sort of tone based on...
Honestly, because it's interesting. I think playing basketball, you growing up, it's largely just African-Americans. Like, it just is. It is what it is. And I think me growing up playing, I'm not white, I'm Puerto Rican, but every time I would play, I wouldn't say they like you more if you're white, but they kind of, like, respect you. Like, oh, white boy can play. Like, they don't really hate you for it. They kind of just respect you more for it. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Shout out to my dad right now. He's a white guy, and he'd always hit the 3, and people would respect him for that.
Oh, look at that.
Mike Bailey, shout out.
Yes. So clearly, athletics and those good genetics start from the top and have been passed along. So, you know.
Okay, so the chat is talking about Draymond right now. Marvin says Draymond is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time for the Warriors. And then CJ said, Draymond was right. He is a dirty player. All you can say about Draymond is he kicks people.
I mean, but that's a big thing.
Oh, you want to say something fun? This is totally off topic, but I wanted to do the ESPYs red carpet for AfterBuzz. And you remember when Draymond, like, kicked someone in the nuts? Like, he did it twice last year in the playoffs. Yeah. I wanted to go on the red carpet and interview Draymond with an athletic cup on, but they wouldn't let me do it.
Oh.
I think that would have been hilarious. So but, all right.
He might have kept walking by you if he saw that. What's that for?
No, he would have known right away. It was right after he got suspended for kicking someone in the nuts. All right.
He might not have had a good sense of humor about it then. Maybe not then.
Like, he looks like he signed a poster in Utah the other day.
He did sign a poster.
A kid brought a poster in Utah. It said, it counted how many times he flopped. It said Draymond flop count. And he was walking by the kid, took the pen, signed it, and...
Petty wop.
Okay, we have another person in the chat that said Draymond is just bored since their series is over.
I think so.
I mean,
ready for some good games.
They're trying to keep themselves entertained. Right. It's like, you know, trying to keep themselves hyped up.
And they were just in Utah, and they, you know what they said about Utah being boring, so.
That's accurate.
I've never been to Utah.
I've never been to Utah either, but every NBA player I talk to, when you ask them what are their least favorite NBA cities.
Indiana?
No.
Really?
Utah and Portland, Oregon.
Get out of here.
Unless you're talking about you're going to the Nike employee store or something like that. Those are the two. Portland's a little better
like
now.
I hear nothing but good things about Portland. Like the
I mean, Portland is better. This was a couple of years, but those were the opinions that I got. Generally, their two least favorite cities.
And
Utah,
LA's probably one, right?
LA. What, is their most popular? Their favorite cities? Okay, so.
LA, Chicago, New York.
Not Chicago, okay. Not New York. No. It's too cold. LA, Toronto.
Toronto, heard, yeah.
Houston.
Really?
Miami.
Miami, how can I
And
Miami?
Atlanta. New York is still up there, but those are the top
Atlanta
five
makes sense
favorite athletes.
I mean, that's an urban city. That's like an urban, like.
Clubs stay open pretty late.
Yeah.
Active strip club environment.
Miami makes complete sense.
Miami clubs stay open until 5 a.m.
And just Chicago, New York are just way too damn cold.
Too cold, yeah, and in the middle of the season, so.
And a lot could pop off in either of those cities.
Yeah, yeah, Toronto, there's not really much paparazzi. The drinking limit is 18.
Not Boston?
No, probably not Boston.
For what reasons?
maybe just not.
Okay.
We're just going to leave it there.
All right,
shout out to Boston.
Yeah, no, unshout out to Boston.
we're going to believe that there are, believe that there are some good people in Boston.
Oh, there's great people in Boston.
Outside
just as a New Yorker, and actually Christine could probably speak for this too.
Yes,
we have a thing
agreed.
About I can't stand Boston, and I can't stand Philadelphia either. But like Boston sports, can't stand it, especially as a Yankee fan. You just learn to hate Boston, just like they learn to hate us. Boston, you hate New York. It's fine. We hate each other. Let's continue the hatred. I don't mind it, to be honest with you.
It's a long-lasting rivalry.
Yeah, it's great.
It'll always be there.
Yeah.
I went to two baseball games ever. One was a Yankees Red Sox game, and the Yankees won, and I felt like my life was complete.
There you go.
Ding.
That's all you need.
All right, so let's move on. The Wizards travel to Boston. Game 5, pivotal game 5 in Boston. Guys, who you got?
I have the Wizards. I am ready for the Wizards to lock it up and put it down. I know that the Celtics have been balling out at home behind Isaiah. I just think it's time to put it to bed, though.
Okay, Christine?
I have the Wizards as well.
Oh, ooh. Oh.
Twinsies.
I have it to begin with, yeah.
Oh. Allie.
I think I'm thinking the Wizards too.
Oh.
Triplets. What are you thinking?
I think the Wizards as well.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. I thought we might get a one or two Boston.
Let's
Celtics.
See what the chat thinks.
Does the chat think?
Chat, what do you think? I just think the Wizards are playing so well right now. I don't think being in Boston matters right now.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I know, like, show before last, like, or the last time that I was on, like, we were talking a lot about Isaiah Thomas and, like, the force that he's playing with.
Right.
With all the emotion included with everything that he's gone through with this series. But, like you said, I think the Wizards are playing really great basketball right now, and I think that they're locked in. They're ready to, like you said, put this one to bed.
Yeah, it's kind of slowed down, too. Isaiah's game in Washington hasn't been that great, but mostly because they've been blown out and really hasn't played as much. He was 7-for-14 last game, which is good, decent. But you know, when you're getting blown out in the third, end of the third, early fourth, you're not really going to play much. He needs help. He does need help. I think Al Horford needs to step up if they're going to win. Guys like Bradley need to step up, and I don't see it happening.
I don't either. I think the series is over. Regroup and
it's not over. It's 2-2. It's 2-2.
I think the Wizards have the next two.
I'll tell you what, though, Bradley Beal coming alive in Game 4 was huge for them.
It was big because if he's off. It messes everything up.
Right.
It messes everything up. They need
his scoring. They need his scoring desperately. And if he goes off like he did in Game 4, I don't think Boston can beat them. I really don't. I mean, you didn't have much from Gortat, from what I remember. I'm looking at the stats right now. Bogdanovich is playing decent. I mean, someone off the bench finally from the Wizards doing something. But I don't know. I just like Washington better. I really do.
I do, too.
That dog here in the chat says John Wall showing himself why he a point god.
Point god.
Point god.
Let us rank John. I was going to say John Paul. Who's
John Paul?
John Wall. Let's rank John Wall. Eastern Conference point guards. So we have John Wall. Mm-hmm. These are the nominees. John Wall.
Kyrie
Irving.
Two nominees.
Is that it? Isaiah Thomas. Chat, help me out here. I'm not putting Kyle Lowry up there.
You're not.
No. Absolutely
no.
not. This is just Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going through the.
I gotta go through the teams in my head.
Yeah. Who's the Heat's point guard?
I'm not Schroeder, Dragic. No.
No.
I think that's it. Just those three are probably worthy of the.
Indiana. Who's there?
No.
TJ Miles. Teague.
Yeah.
Or is Teague in Atlanta? No, he's in.
He's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Giannis. You want to put Giannis on in the. In the conversation? Not really, right?
He's not a he's a point forward. He's a forward. He's
okay.
You know.
So I'm gonna ask you, out of Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas, and John Wall, who you got?
Mm.
I got Kyrie.
I do have Kyrie. I think that Kyrie is a little more seasoned at this point. John is getting to where he needs to be. Finally, he's more comfortable in himself. But Kyrie is just having LeBron jump on them, having to work through their battle of wills with Kyrie's natural already aggressiveness. You know, he's the one that's coming at Kobe like, yeah, I'm playing you one-on-one. I'm going to beat you right there. So I think that he has a little bit more of an edge, but John Wall has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove, which is why I think that as he has stepped into his leadership role, he also wants that respect from the others. You know, that crown, he's tired of being snubbed. So
right.
But I think that Kyrie just a little over John Wall right now.
Christine?
I put Kyrie above John Wall because I think that at this point in his game, like, he's finessed it in a way that, to me, skills-wise, I think he's a bit better than John Wall. I think John Wall plays with an aggressiveness and a competitiveness that I enjoy. Like, I love watching him play. But I think down the stretch, Kyrie is the more effective point guard.
Allie?
Kyrie is probably, to me, a little bit more consistent, I think. I'm asking the chat right now, Kyrie or Wall?
I'm saying John Wall.
CJ says Kyrie for now, but next series could change that.
Ooh.
I just think John Wall's...
That is a good point,
I think John Wall's more of your traditional point guard where he's going to look for other people. And I love that in a point guard. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie's just more take you off the dribble, I can score, and if I just so happen to set you up, I set you up. But he has LeBron.
That's very
true. He also has LeBron on his team, so he doesn't have to do it. So I don't want to penalize Kyrie for that. I think John Wall means more to the Wizards than Kyrie means to the Cavs.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I agree with that. Well, he's playing with the best player on the planet.
Right, that's kind of a given.
Yeah, to say
that. But I don't know. I think I would rather John Wall just for his playmaking ability. I think it's important to get other people involved. I think it's important for a point guard to make a conscious decision saying, okay, I got to get Otto Porter going. He hasn't taken a shot yet. Let me do this on purpose to get him a shot.
And then still be able to come and get your shots off later.
I really believe that John Wall's a few point guards who still does that in the NBA, and I really, really, really respect that. And I don't think Kyrie does that.
He's so talented, though. He's extremely talented, but I also have to wonder, as you have to think about the situation that, I mean, John Wall, too, but that Kyrie came into a team that LeBron had just left,
right?
You know, bottom of the barrel. So I often wonder if part of that was survival of the fittest, just this is what I need to do in order to stay relevant, and got comfortable with it.
All right. Jill, do you have any interesting news?
I do a little bit. Okay. By now, I'm sure everyone has heard about the Celtics reunion that took place last night on Inside the NBA.
I didn't see it. We have a
so we're going to see a little bit of a clip on this. Like, this is...
I would say, hey.
Yeah, here we go.
Know that it's over with right here first before you go over there and jump on the bandwagon.
This is about Ray Allen. Yeah.
And doing all that. You know, I understand you want to win a ring, but we still believed in ourselves and we still believed that we could win.
They're mad because he didn't call.
That's why they're mad.
Basically, that he didn't tell them.
I ain't gonna lie, I was wishing that. Yeah, I was like, I got traded. So
no,
okay,
that's Kendrick Perkins. He was hoping he was going to face up against them. They're basically salty because they're like, if you wanted to move on, Ray Allen,
it almost feel like you owed us a phone call. Home and the wife and the kids and the clothes and everything is out the house. You didn't get a note or nothing.
In his wheelchair, Doc Gator.
Or tweet or nothing. They just gone.
Well, baby, I'm just going to go over with LeBron.
Like, man, that's wrong right there. That's
chilling dope. Baby, I'm leaving. I'm just going to go.
I'm just going to go with
Rondo saying nothing.
You chilling?
There's
a reason.
Acting like he auditioned for a coaching job.
Rondo was being politically correct. So this is the thing. So with KG, remember, and you said Big Baby, who I don't know why he has such an opinion about it, how relevant was... I mean,
he's a person. Every person deserves a thing,
but you're so angry. Just accept that you got a ring. The one thing that is upsetting to me about all of this... Let's not act like the 08 Celtics were a dynasty. You won one championship. Okay? Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves, you know? And I think both sides are wrong, but considering the fact of how many times Ray Allen had been traded, he was... Nobody stood up for him when he was on the trading block and the Celtics were looking to move on from him. So him going to the Heat, obviously, he made out better with his second ring. And, you know, everybody needs to grow up and kind of move on and be adults. But from what I understand, the problem with Rajon and Ray is a little more personal and a little more deeper than just, oh, he didn't call, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's stupid.
You do?
I think it's stupid. You're in the NBA. You know that you have to do what's best for what your best for your family, best for your career. I mean, it's business.
If you are in the trenches with someone, you've won a championship with them, you have a certain type of brotherhood
that
only these 13 – you don't think that you at least owe them the courtesy of saying, hey, I'm about to dip out to Miami and go see what's up with LeBron and these rings.
Well, maybe he didn't want to do it because he thought they would change his mind and he didn't want his mind changed.
I mean, no. You could have told them after.
Do that, your mind's made up.
Well, what do you think, Christine? What do you think of the whole situation? Do you think it's silly that they just hate Ray Allen for this, or?
I think eventually they're gonna have to let it go.
Yeah.
Like you said, you gotta do what's best for you at the end of the day. I mean, we're seeing a lot of that right now with KD going to the Warriors too. So I get it. I get why you would be upset, but
yeah,
I think eventually you need to just let it go. He decided to go about it the way he did. Didn't call. That's it. You wash your hands, you move on.
Allie in the chat.
CJ, in response to Joe, your comment about the Celtics, was AAA, let's not forget who they beat for that championship.
And let's not forget who came back after that and went back-to-back titles. Again, 2-1, 2-1.
I'll say this.
I just want to put
I'll say
that
this.
Out
hold
there.
On, hold on.
Like
let's,
I said, not a
Jill,
dynasty.
Let's be honest.
What?
Healthy Kendrick Perkins. Celtics win that series.
You think? I don't know.
I know.
Shout out to Meta. Shout out to
hold
Meta.
Hold on. I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. Kobe was awful in Game 7. All right, let's move on. Next video, we have LeBron, who's better than Kobe. What's this?
So, you know, listen.
Nice transition there.
We are just going to ignore.
We just got 20 dislikes.
The little hatred that's flowing through on Kobe Bean Bryant, the GOAT. Anyway, LeBron.
I have your back on this. I have your back on this.
Thank you. Thank you.
What? Are you kidding me right
Listen,
now?
Listen, LeBron is a special player.
You think Kobe's better than LeBron?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is...
What are you saying, though?
What I'm saying is they are not contemporaries. LeBron and Kobe were not ever rivals. Kobe was the best player in the league. Kobe transitioned the league from Jordan to LeBron.
When was he the best player in the league? When?
Are you talking about when Kobe scored 81? When he was balling out with Smush Parker and Chucky Atkins and Chris,
leading them to a 34-48 record. Oh, balling, yeah, that Kobe Bryant.
Where, who was going to take them in the West at that time period? Where was he going to take them?
I mean, if someone like LeBron was on that team, I guarantee you they would have made the playoffs.
Let us point out that Kobe did not have the luxury of having one coach through his whole career.
He had Phil Jackson.
Not at that time, yet Rudy Tomjanovich. Okay, so
won two championships with the Rockets?
What we're seeing is LeBron clapping on a courtside fan. He asked him if he was mad and then pointed out the foulness of his shoes, that he should be mad at his shoes that he picked. So just jokes all throughout the whole thing. The spinning of the ball. I feel like the Cavs really, really enjoyed. They had a good time against the Raptors.
Oh,
it was just like exercise. All jokes
it's
and
all
things.
Jokes.
So you guys can check that out if you missed it really quickly. On my Twitter feed at Stiletto Jill, and it's just basically LeBron saying you mad or nah, and be mad at yourself for picking those shoes. Of course, the person he was talking to, what did they do? Laugh, because the greatest player in the world is talking to them.
Ah, it's awesome.
They got acknowledged. Their day was made.
Yeah,
right. It's a
shout out to the Raptors fan.
Grandkids,
right?
Allie, what are they saying on the chat?
CJ just said Shaq was better than Kobe until LeBron.
Thank you. Wait, and LeBron?
Until LeBron.
Another day. We're just going to have a special show.
We have that dog.
Kobe, LeBron, and something.
Shout out, that dog just said, Kobe, the best. LeBron, just the dunker. And Kobe got the passion. LeBron, a crybaby. Kobe, don't cry, baby.
Just a dunker?
LeBron had to go to Miami to learn how to win from Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade. Part of that is a Lakers legacy that was flowing through there. Anyway.
Kobe needed Shaq to come over and Phil Jackson to come over to Los Angeles to win.
Shaq needed Kobe, too, because Shaq had Penny. And how did that work out with
the finals?
Houston? They did make
the
finals.
They made the finals, and they got swept. And if he stayed, who knows how the last game would have been.
Maybe, but he didn't. He came to L.A., and they teamed up together, and it was fabulous. Three straight.
All right.
Don't hate.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
This got really heated.
It did get heated.
We're passionate
Jill
about this.
Jill and I are going to be fighting on Burbank.
Absolutely.
In about... 5 minutes, I'll periscope it. Thanks for joining us in the chat. Give us a thumbs up, rate us on iTunes, give us those 5 stars, we need them. I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Also, download the Anchor app and follow my station, 10 Minute Drill. Me and my friend AJ Kelly do a sports talk radio thing. So if you want more sports talk, again, it's the Anchor app, and we're called 10 Minute Drill. Just search sports. We're like the second thing that comes up. Jill.
Ooh. I'm Jill Monroe. You can find me everywhere at Stiletto Jill. Make sure you check out JacksonStilettoJill.com for all your sports and pop culture gossip. And Christine, where can they locate you to talk about the Warriors?
Oh gosh, you'll see RTs of splashes all day. Follow me on Twitter at Christine Bean and on Instagram, all of our social media at Christine Bean.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the chat. My name's Allie Bailey. You can find me AllieBailey_1.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us once again. Today is Tuesday, right?
I'm losing track of days. It is Tuesday.
All right, so Thursday you can find us back here reviewing the NBA playoffs. We'll have game five of the Celtics-Wizards, and by then game six of the Rockets-Spurs. So take care. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks for staying up late.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Ginobili!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.